Studying from the book of Proverbs, the 8th chapter. We're going to be going through this book of Proverbs, and I believe that as we explore and meditate on the directives and the guidance of God's Word, that we'll all find true security, freedom, peace, and that we'll be transformed so that we can be all that God says we should be and can be. Amen? Week last, we came through chapter 8, and we got up to verse 14. This particular chapter continues with the admonitions that the Word of God gives to us in chapter 5, 6, and 7. Chapter 8 is addressing the how we escape the lifestyle of immorality, what we need to do, and is given to us wise counsel. Because it's not enough to know what right things to do. That's one thing, and it's more than nothing. But knowing is not enough. We've got to have the capacity to do what is right. And the Word of God is showing us in chapter 8 how we are able to do those right things that we need to do. And what happens when we don't operate in the wisdom of God's Word, and how that brings about disaster. In verse 12, a verse that seems to have been dropped out of nowhere, we came to understand that God is not just dealing, normally when you look at verse 12, I, wisdom, dwell with prudence and find out knowledge of witty inventions. We think about it in terms of being creative in a nice way. But that's not really what verse 12 is talking about. While that is true, it's saying that when we don't line up with the will of God, we become creative in doing evil things. This becomes witty inventions, plotting on how to do the wrong thing. And he challenges us to step away from that by saying, the fear of the Lord is to hate evil. Don't be strategizing on what you're going to do and how you're going to do it, how you're going to lure somebody to doing the wrong thing, how you're going to seduce somebody, and so on and so forth. All of those fall into those witty inventions perspective. This is, but have the fear of the Lord and hate evil. Pride and arrogance and the evil way and the froward mouth do I hate. Pride, arrogance. He said, I hate that. You strategizing on doing the wrong thing. I hate that. And we're going to find out the things that God hates and how he comes hard against that. So he says to us, counsel is mine. Counsel is mine and sound wisdom. I am not into witty inventions, plotting on how you're going to do the wrong thing, but I'm going to counsel you. If you're willing and ready to hear my counsel and receive sound wisdom, so that instead of you running into a problem, you step away from it. Because through the fear of the Lord, we are able to step away from doing what is evil. He says, I am understanding and I have strength. That is powerful. I have understanding. I am understanding, and I have strength. In other words, the strength that you need to do the right thing, I have it. Amen? You know, you don't need to kill over, you know, because there is a temptation. He says, I have the strength and the capacity to help you overcome. He knows what temptation is. The Lord knows what temptation is. And he knows how he overcame every temptation. So he knows how to give us the strength to overcome temptations. He says, by me, when you take on the wisdom of God, by me kings reign and princes decree justice, to do the right thing. Because wisdom is operating there. Understanding is operating there. Knowledge is operating there. It says, by me princes rule. And nobles, even all the judges of the earth. Where there is proper justice applied, it's applied by wisdom. In one of the cases that we find out, when God had given Solomon wisdom, we told a story about how two women were squabbling about a child that was alive. One woman had, in the night, slept and rolled over her child and suffocated the child, and woke up and grabbed the other lady's child and says, this is my child. And the lady says, no. I know my child. This is my child. And we're arguing, and they came to Solomon, and Solomon says, okay, you know what we're going to do? We're going to cut this child into two and give you one half, the other half. And the one whose child it was and said, okay, that's fine. And the one whose child it was said, please, just give it to her. Just don't kill. Don't kill the child. Don't cut the child. Just give it to her already. Give it to her. It's okay. She can raise the child. And Solomon says, ah, you that wanted the child to die, if this was your child, you wouldn't have done it. So that's wisdom. Wisdom that brought about proper decision making. And we need that for ourselves. We need it in our community. We need it in our homes, in our family. How do I deal with things properly, judiciously, in a way that helps people? He says, get wisdom. Get wisdom. Be wise. And when you're wise, you make the right decisions. He says, I love them that love me, wisdom says. If you love wisdom, wisdom loves you. And those that seek me early shall find me. They shall find me. You want wisdom and you're seeking it, God's word here is, you're going to have that wisdom. You're going to make the right decisions. You're going to be able to be discerning, separating one thing from the other. Because ultimately, that's what wisdom does. Wisdom causes us to be discerning. In a community and a society where discernment is missing, wrong decisions are made. With wisdom, you're able to identify value and worth. The value of what people are doing and what it is worth to you and to the community at large. It is wisdom and that helps you come up with those right decisions. And if you seek it early, you're going to find it. A young child, 5, 6 years old, called me the other day with the parents and said, asking me questions. They were questions that were way beyond his pay grade. And as I started answering these questions, as complicated as the questions were, this young child could grasp it. It's answers that adults sometimes cannot even grasp. And this kid is asking me this question. I said, I don't know if you're going to understand the answer to this question you're asking. And I said, explaining. And he got it and was telling me back what I said and applying what I said to other situations in life. And I'm thinking, oh my God, this kid is wise. He's asking wise questions, and he's going to grow up wise. It was not just the things that Jesus heard in the temple that demonstrated his wisdom, but the questions that he asked. The questions you ask reveal the depth of your knowledge. Questions are very important. It means that you are applying something. And if you seek to be wise, God says in his word, you find it. If you love me, wisdom, you're going to experience wisdom. There are people in church, been in church 10, 15 years, 20 years, know very little. And somebody just comes and they are in church for a month and they're asking this question and they're asking that question, and before you know it, the little one that just came is head and shoulders over the one that is just sitting down there doing nothing, not seeking wisdom. It's too complicated. It's King James. Hold up. Slow down. Maybe it's King James and it's Old English so that you can slow down and think about it. People just want things fed to them. But God's word says, seek. That means you have to go looking for it. It doesn't come to you. You seek it. You desire it. He says, if you desire it, I don't have any choice. You're going to find me. And when you have wisdom, you find some extras. Extras like riches and honor. You want honor? You want riches? This is, it's with me. Riches and honor are with me. So if you find me, there's the riches. There's the honor. Now, understand, the Lord says, I liken a wise man, watch this, I liken a wise man to the one who came, heard my words, and did it. See, that's a wise man. That wise man dug deep, hit the rock, and built his house. He says a foolish man comes, just like the wise man. He comes too. The foolish man hears, just like the wise man. The difference between the wise man and the foolish man is that the wise man does what he came and heard. The foolish man comes, hears, but does not do. The difference is in the doing, the using of what you've got. That's what makes the difference. If I give you a very sharp axe and you don't use the axe, but somebody else has a dull axe but uses their dull axe, I tell you what, sooner or later, the guy with the dull axe will fall the tree, and you with your nice sharp designer axe would have accomplished nothing. It's what you do with what you've got. What you do with what you have is what makes the difference. And wisdom says, it says, riches and honor are with me. And then it adds, durable riches. We're not talking about something that just came and happened. It says, something that is lasting. Durable riches. Durable riches is riches that helps you encounter everything that you need to encounter and come through at the other end. It says durable riches and righteousness, right standing. It says it's with me. My fruit, he says, is better than gold. So what is that? Yea, than fine gold. I thought riches and gold should go together. And he says, oh, no. When I'm talking about riches, I'm not just talking about money. Because that's what we can associate it with. I'm rich. I got lots of money. Well, there are people that are rich that don't have lots of money, but they are able to accomplish what you that has lots of money wants to accomplish. They have lots of friends. Good friends. That's riches. They are smart riches. They have wholesome relationships, riches. They don't have to be ashamed, riches. They make right decisions, riches. All of that is part of riches, and it's durable. Because true riches is connected to the quality of the person that you are. And no matter what happens, the quality of who you are doesn't change. This today we did two different broadcasts, streaming. And one of the statements I made today, I suppose in both broadcasts, was about the intrinsic value and worth of a thing. And I illustrated it this way. If I have $100 bill and I put it here, it's nice and crisp, clean, it is worth a $100 bill. If I'm walking outside and that $100 bill fell on the street, on dirt, while it is on the floor, its value still didn't change. It's still a $100 bill. If I put mud on it, guess what it still is? A $100 bill. If I rip it up, tear it into two, it might look like it's not a $100 bill, but all I need is some tape and it's back. It's back. The same thing we need to understand about wisdom. And wisdom connected to me. No matter what happens, I keep the value of me when I obey the instruction of God's word. My value is still intact. The prodigal son did not lose his value as his son, even though he was saying, make me one of your hired servants. As far as the father was concerned, still his son. I reject you as my son does not make it you're not my daughter does not mean I'm not your daughter. I came from you. If you check the DNA, it's going to say daughter. We're connected. That's what wisdom brings you into, so that you don't lose your value. Don't lose your value. Will a son or a daughter lose their value on their side? Yes, if you don't receive the love of God. But as far as God is concerned, you're my son. You know, it says in the book of Job, when the sons of God congregated, there was Satan. He showed up in the party. Is that not true? He showed up. If the enemy can show up at the gathering of the sons of God, I wonder if you can show up too, because that's what true riches is. Access. And let me just put it all in one simple way. True riches is about access. That you have access to God. That's what true riches is. Take everything. As long as I have God, I'm rich. I'm rich. It wasn't the so-called rich man who did not treat Lazarus properly that was wealthy. It was Lazarus, even with all his sores, that was a rich man. Because when everything was all said and done, he was in Abraham's bosom. And the so-called rich man was languishing in hell. What did his riches do? It was endurable. But the durable riches was that this one, even as messed up in the natural as it seemed, had a relationship with God. It didn't look like he had a relationship because, hey, if you had a relationship with God, how come you're going through what you're going through? I don't know. I don't know why things are tough. I don't know. But even though he slays me, yet am I going to serve him? Oh, that's durable riches. Being steadfast, continuing. It's better than fine gold, and my revenue than choice silver. In essence, God is saying, listen, I have more than enough. I don't just give you the good. I don't just give you the better. I give you the best. But it's not based on natural things. It includes that, but it's more than that. I'll bless you and make you a blessing. He says, I lead in the way of righteousness in the midst of the paths of judgment. I'll lead you. So don't be disheartened, no matter what. I lead in the way of righteousness. You have my wisdom. I'll lead you the right way. And I'll help you make the right decisions. That I may cause those that love me to inherit substance. That I may cause those that love me to inherit substance. That I may cause those that love me to inherit substance. What is that all about? God is saying, listen, it's like he said in Matthew, seek ye first the kingdom of God and all of his righteousness, and every other thing shall be added unto you. I'm going to cause you to inherit substance. I'm going to cause you to inherit substance. That is a powerful statement. Now, what is a substance? Substance is what a thing consists of. Substance is the building block of a thing. So I look at this chair, I think about the substance. I think about the fabric, I think about the metal, the steel, and all of that. But substance does not just go to the surface of what you see. It goes into the intrinsic aspect of what the building block of that thing is. And sometimes what you see and the substance, there's no coalition. For example, I have paper here. This paper. What is the substance of this? Where did this come from? Huh? Speak out loud. From wood. Does this look like wood? But that's the substance. It is from the substance that every other thing falls into place. Oh, wait a minute. What is this, the true substance of everything? Jesus, okay, good, good. But the Word. The Word. Those that love me, I cause to inherit substance, means that God causes you to have the Word. The Word. The Word to prophesy. The Word to speak. To bring about the result that you need. The Word. The Word. You don't know what to do, but the Word comes. Van, come to me. Huh? And the next day, Van shows up. Because I needed the van. But I didn't have the money. But God had a solution. And he needed me to speak forth. Let there be a Burger King. That's the substance to fix my well and heating and cooling system problem. Let there be a Burger King. Come on, what connection has Burger King? Now I'm feeling really hungry. There seems to be no connection at all. But as a substance, the Word of God. May God grant us the grace to inherit substance because we have wisdom, capacity. He says, and I will fill their treasures. I will fill their treasures. The things that you treasure, the things that are important to you, the things that you hold dear to heart, he says, wisdom says, I'm going to fill it. I'm going to fill it with whatever it is that you need. It's going to be filled. I'm encouraged by that because so many times I face situations and I need to trust God to resolve the situation. And he says, wisdom. What do you need? Wisdom. So may I put it this way? The only problem we have is a wisdom problem. It's a wisdom problem. Ultimately, it's a wisdom problem. As the days go and we grow in wisdom and knowledge and understanding, when I look back, there are things that I should have been able to do that I did not do because I did not have the wisdom. I did not have the knowledge, the understanding. And so I did not do it because all I saw was a problem. But I did not pursue past the problem. You know, many times we stop at the place of the problem. As we it's a problem. When we ask God for wisdom, guess what he gives us? He gives you a problem. Let me say that again. When you ask God for wisdom, he gives you a problem. He gives you a problem not to cause you problems, but to give you an opportunity to resolve or to solve something. See something another way. And all of a sudden, oh, that's the answer. But you have to stick around long enough to trust that God will infuse you with the wisdom that you need to handle the problem. I was listening to a message, Call to Victory broadcast this morning, and it was one where I was preaching, I think it was from Psalm 33, something like that, and the Lord said, I want you to speak from this passage, and I opened to the psalm, and it says, sing a new song. sing a new song. So what are you saying? Sing a new song. What does that mean? Sing a new song. So we should stop singing old song and sing another song, write new song. So what are you trying? Look, how many seconds would that take for me to just say to the people, the Lord says, sing a new song. What are you trying to say? I kept at it. I kept at it and said, Lord, what are you trying to say to me? What are you trying to say to me? Sing a new song. What are you trying to say? And as I stayed with it, boom, there it was. I knew exactly what the Lord was saying, sing a new song. And I preached for about an hour or so about sing a new song from, what are you saying? And sometimes God stretches you and I to find solutions, to listen. Don't quit because there's an obstacle. Dig under it, go over it, go around it. But one way or the other, since there is a destination, a destiny that God has for you, don't allow anything to stop you. In life, we face situations, and the challenge many times is in the natural. You say, well, I got this problem, I need to solve this problem first before I do this. And it makes a load of sense. But sometimes, that's not what God is saying. There are certain things that you've got to cut off. So I'm not going to waste my time with this. It's like doing an exam. You're in an exam room, and there's 20 questions. And you come to question number three, and question number three is not letting go. Leave it alone. Go to question number four. If four is not doing what you need to do, go to question number five. Oh, yeah. But if you get stuck in number three, the hour is going to be gone, and you've only answered two questions. Go on. You might not get an A, but don't get an F. Don't get an F. If you stay stuck on one spot, you are stuck. Just go on. It's not the end. You'll come back. The question is still there. Now you come back to it. I don't know what the answer to this is. Next. Next. God says, I will fill your treasures. That which is important. It says, the Lord possessed me in the beginning of his way. When God started doing things, he possessed me. Before his works of old, wisdom. In essence, everything God did, he did with wisdom. Wow, that's interesting. Everything God did, he did with wisdom. the decisions I make, the things that I'm doing, am I doing them with wisdom? At the very beginning, am I doing it with wisdom? Now, let's back up a moment. The Word of God says, the fear of the Lord is the what? The beginning of wisdom. So the question I need to ask myself, the question you need to ask yourself is, the decisions that you make, are you doing it in reverence of who God is, in honor of God first? Or are you just doing things and then at some point you decide, oh, I guess we need to pray now. There's this old story about some guys in a canoe paddling, and they came across some troubled times and they started bailing water out. And after they struggled for a while, one of them says, I think we need to pray. And then the other one says, hasn't gotten to that? Has it gotten to that point where we need to pray? No, if you start praying first, maybe you will avert the problem. God started with wisdom. How do I need to start? Lord, this guy or this lady that is coming into my life, is this somebody I need to be dating? Is this somebody I need to be talking with? Is this somebody I should spend my time with? Did you start there? Or do you start with, he's cute, she's pretty, oh, he has some money, oh, she's dependable, she's a good cook. And then you've gone with that relationship, you've gone with that relationship, you've gone with that relationship, and one day you say, I better pray about this. Lord, what if the Lord tells you at that point, no? Now what are you going to do? You've invested a whole year, 2 years with this person, and now God says no. You're going to say, I rebuke you, devil. That's what you're going to say. I rebuke you. Oh, no. No, no, no. This got to be the devil. No, 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 no. But if you started correctly, maybe God might say yes, maybe God might say no. Maybe God might say, what do you want? I don't know what God is going to say. But the important thing is, start with God. That's how God started, with wisdom. He said, if you can put it this way, if you can put it this way, the fear of God is the beginning of wisdom. Then see the fear of God from God's perspective as God's reverence for himself. Or in our own language, self-respect. If you have self-respect for yourself, you make better decisions. If you don't have self-respect, then you'll just make any decision you want to make, any which way, who cares? Because you don't care about you. But if you care about yourself, then you make the right decisions. And sometimes the decisions you make might right now be costing you something, but at the end of it, there'll be an inheritance of goodness, of favor, peace, joy, stability, security. Because you have self-respect. And God has self-respect. He reverences himself. He honors himself. And because he respects himself and he honors himself, you can trust that he will do the right thing. He will do the right thing. He will not allow his name to be dragged in the mud. I preached a message many years ago about maybe I will get to it again. The Lord's Prayer. It is our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Hallowed be thy name. Holy is your name. Special is your name. We only see it from one perspective. Lord, glorified be your name. But you need to see it from this perspective. God, glorify your name. Because I'm asking, I am praying. So what I'm asking, I'm believing, I'm receiving it. Because you're God who cannot lie. Hallowed be your name. Hallow your name. For your name's sake. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? Yeah. Your name be hallowed. I'm going to testify of your goodness. I'm going to testify of your awesomeness. I need to start from that place. That's how the Lord starts with the Lord's Prayer. That's where it starts. He said, I was set up from everlasting. From everlasting, from the beginning, or ever the earth was. Before this earth was created, I was set up. God started everything. Everything that is. Do you know how complex things are? Just your eyeball. Your eyeball. Do you know how complex that is? A simple cell in your body. Do you know how complex that is? That it has in that one cell. A stem cell that it has the capacity to reproduce every aspect of you. You know how complex that is? The depth of the wisdom of God. Wisdom. It says, when there were no depths. Oh, that's serious. When there were no depths. This is dealing with space. I was brought forth. This has to do with time. When there were no fountains, abounding with water. This has to do with matter. God, it is too complex for our natural mind to perceive. God has no beginning. God is. God is. God just is. And God that is created space, time, and matter. He created all of that. but was not created. It's beyond my natural mind. Because the natural mind is only focused on the time, space, matter equation. But God is not limited to any of that. So he says, when there were no depths, when there was nothing like space, I cannot imagine no space. What are you talking about, no space? So God, so before anything was, God is. And that God is, that God which is, creates everything out of himself. Out of himself, everything was created. Everything that it is came out of God. What does Hebrews 11 say? Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Verse 6 says, without faith, it is impossible to please him, meaning God. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is what? That he is. He is. God is. And that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. He rewards those that diligently seek him. And says, before there were any depths, I was brought forth. When there were no fountains abounding with water, before the mountains were settled, it's talking about the matter quotient now, before the hills was, I was brought forth. Wisdom preceded all of that. While as yet he had not made the earth, nor the fields, nor the highest part of the dust of the world, when he prepared the heavens, I was there. God prepared the heavens. When he set a compass upon the face of the depth, I was there. When he established the clouds above, when he strengthened the fountains of the deep, when he gave to the sea his decree that the waters should not pass his commandment. I remember there was a flood that was coming into the city many years ago. We were still on Maryland at the time. The city was going to get flooded. We were all praying, trusting God for a miracle. And one day the Lord says, okay, this is what you need to do. There's a decree. The waters cannot just do whatever it is it wants to do. I want you to go down to this bridge by Saint Vital, that particular area or perimeter somewhere. And we got there. As high as the bridge was, the water was just lapping. It was just about to go over. It says, pronounce my decree. Stop signs, everything was underwater. Pronounce my decree and tell it no more. It hadn't crested yet, which meant more water was coming. Noah says, there's a decree that the waters should not pass his commandment. I spoke the word of decree and I left. And all of a sudden, day after day, water starts dropping. Water stops dropping. Because the word of God says there's a decree. Now, if I just arbitrarily go and start mounting off, the chances are nothing will happen. But when you have a word from the Lord, that's when things change. That's when things change. Because the word of God is a commandment that must be obeyed. And when we are wise, we explore that grace. And as the word of God says, surely goodness and mercy shall follow you all the days of your life. Let me wrap it up in verse 30 for today. He says, then I was by him. Wisdom says, I was by him as one brought up with him. And I was daily his delight, rejoicing always before him, rejoicing in the habitable part of his earth, and my delights were with the sons of men. Bottom line, God is saying, listen, I am with God right from the very beginning. And if you're with God, I am with you. Acknowledge the Lord in all of your ways and he will direct your path. If any man lacks wisdom, James chapter 1, let's end with that. It starts out by talking about the tribulations and the trials that we go through. My brethren, count it all joy. What did we just read? Rejoicing. Yeah? Verse 30, then I was by him as one brought up with him, and I was daily his delight, rejoicing always before him. See that? Paul says, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. So guess what? Wisdom is connected to joy. I don't know if you got that. If you lack wisdom, start celebrating, not celebrating your ignorance. No, celebrate the goodness of God, that because wisdom is around, right there. Count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations. You're going through trying time. It says, start celebrating the joy of God. He says, verse 3, he says, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. It works patience. What does patience do? Verse 4, he says, but let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing, lacking nothing. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not what? Want. Okay, when you let patience take its rightful place, I don't want to go into the Greek word now, and that's going to mean I'm going to be explaining more and I'm going to keep you longer. I don't want to do that. Maybe next time. We'll go a little bit deeper on that. He says, if you let patience have its perfect work, do what it needs to do. He says, God is going to bring you to a place where you're entire, in essence, wholeness, complete overhaul, where you lack nothing. Nothing is lacking. Nothing is missing. This is a place of peace. Verse 5. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God. In essence, if you don't understand what I'm talking to you about, what patience is going to do, ask for wisdom. Ask God. And says, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask God that giveth, he gives wisdom to some people. Huh? No? He gives wisdom to the elderly, to the youth only. No? He gives wisdom to the Asians. No? some Asians. He gives wisdom to Caucasians. Only to Caucasians. Certainly he gives wisdom just to Germans and no? Japanese. Okay. You got me there. He gives wisdom to the Chinese. He says, give it to all men. All. Doesn't matter what your race is. Wisdom is given to all men. Which man? The man that asks for it. If you ask for wisdom, I give it and I'm liberal with it. And I don't upbraid you, and I don't say, look at you. What are you asking for wisdom for? You? No. You don't qualify. He says, doesn't upbraid you for asking for it. He says, it shall be given him. Now, that's a definite statement. It shall be given him. It didn't say it should be given to him. Should is a maybe. Shall is a definite fact. You ask for wisdom, you're going to get it. Huh? That's a promise. So let us end tonight by asking God for this wisdom, the manifestation of wisdom, the person of wisdom, because the wisdom is personalized. The word of God right there in Proverbs says, her. Say her. You know, hers reproduce. Hers are supposed to be helpmates. Yes? The woman was a helpmate, fit. Guess what? Wisdom says, I was right there. Like somebody who grew with him. This is a building block for everything that we need to us to receive in life. This is a building block. Wisdom. Wisdom. So let us pray. Pray in your own way. Ask God for wisdom. He says he gives wisdom. I'm going to ask for all of us. But you should ask in a very personal way wisdom for every aspect of life. Wisdom. The capacity to accomplish purpose. Wisdom that gives to me the grace to have access. Wisdom, that capacity to obey the instruction of God, to do the right thing. Wisdom to make right decisions. Wisdom for discernment. Wisdom to know beyond a shadow of a doubt that God is, and is a reward of those that diligently seek Him. Wisdom to seek fervently the heart of God, the will of God. Wisdom to remember to put God first in all we do. Father, without you, we are not wise. Your word says, it is a fool that says in his heart, there is no God. That must mean then that wise people know that there is a God. And Lord, oh God, we cry out to you today. You said if we'll ask for wisdom, you give it to us liberally. You will not upbraid. The word says, it shall be given. Father, we stand before you in patience, asking for wisdom. When we are impatient, we start acting the fool. There's so many things, oh God, that we need your wisdom for. Help us not to hurry through life, but to rest in your surely goodness and mercy. Shall follow me all the days of my life. To rest in the Lord is my shepherd, I shall lack nothing. To rest, and though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'll fear no evil. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. To rest in his prepared table before me in the presence of my enemies. To rest in the knowing that you are the God who causes us to lie down, to lay down beside those still waters, to rest, O God, in green pastures, to rest in your loving kindness and your tender mercies. We ask, O God, for wisdom. As a pastor, I ask for wisdom. As a congregation, we ask for wisdom. As leaders, we ask for wisdom. Wisdom to do the right, to say the right, to will the right, to possess the right, standing in righteousness and dealing with life judiciously, in a way that glorifies you, King of kings and Lord of lords forever. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. Praise the Lord. I thank God for every one of you. I look forward to our gathering again this Friday for a time of prayer. And continue to pray for the next crusades that we'll be having, that God will grant us all that we need to accomplish everything we need to accomplish for his glory and for his honor. Amen. Praise the Lord. At this time, let us honor God with our giving. Remember, the word of God to us is that he, when we obey him in our giving, he will open up the windows of heaven and pour out his blessings upon us. God does not need an open heaven. I need an open heaven. So he tells me how I'm going to get it. To be wise when it comes to my giving. When I do so, favor will abound towards me in every area. And you don't have, at least so it seems. So that becomes the precious. Amen. Because it really means so much more. It's costing you even more. God sees that. That's why the woman, the widow with the two mites, Jesus said, this woman gave more than all, everybody else that came with their big bags, because she gave everything. May God honor my giving. May God honor your giving. And may we inherit in substance. Amen? Bless you. Continue to pray for Mama and I, that we continue to do what God has called us to do, effectively and efficiently for his glory and honor. Amen. I don't know if we have anyone.